brief moment, but man, you guys have something special going on here. Yeah, just in worship, I saw like a slot machine like what you'd see in Vegas. And maybe that's not appropriate to talk about in church, but it's what I saw. And I saw like some of you spinning and getting like all lemons, and some of you spinning and getting all strawberries. And the point is, all of you are hitting jackpot today. Like God's got a special something for you this morning. It's going to be healing. It might be a prophetic word. It could be financial breakthrough. But I really believe in my heart that something significant is going to take place in your life this morning. Now, real quick, guys, I drove down with my family, my two boys, Talis and Parker, and my wife, Louisa. And so they're my pride and joy. And, you know, different people carry different anointings. I believe that mine really is in family. And so it's always a blessing when they come with me. So real quick, I felt like my wife was going to deliver something, a scripture or word, something before we kick this off. And so, Louisa, would you come on up? Awesome. Tell us how's the word, too?
Good morning. As I was sharing with Pastor Ryan and the team this morning, there's a sweet, sweet fragrance in this place. And in Ephesians 5, 2, where it says, "And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." So I just speak that over all of you guys. You carry his love so well. You can just sense it in here. And then as I look at you, you carry it in your eyes. So you're going to release that as you go out and just release his love with those around you. And I also had a word. I saw a lady in purple. I think she's sitting right there. One, two, three. Maureen?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. If you would stand up, please. Sorry. So I saw a compass trying to align to its destination, and it wasn't moving all over, but it was just moving enough to where it's supposed to go. And then I heard, "To be still, and you will know." And I also got a scripture for you in Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly God's goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life." Bless you. Yes.
I have a word for the one in the black.
Which one?
Black shirt. That just God loves you and he sees you and that he has favor for you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Wow. So fun. Woo. All right, guys, before I get into the message, I thought I'd share like just a couple of fun stories of what it's like going from Oklahoma to Redding, California. So 2 years ago, my father is a senior pastor at a church in Oklahoma, and they sent our family to Redding to serve. We had no job opportunity, nothing lined up, and he was like, "You really want me to send you out there?" And we're like, "Yes." And so he prayed, and they sent us, right? And we, through the grace of God, I got pulled in. Most people do school, but I got a job opportunity to run Bethel events, so like Open Heavens, Prophetic Conference, all those things I was doing the admin for. And I didn't know anybody, right? So I just wanted to share a couple funny stories. So I pull in. It's like my second or third day at work, and they go, "Hey, you got to get trained by Deborah. Deborah's been here for like longer than anybody. You got to go see Deborah." So I'm like, "Okay." And as I start to talk about Deborah, I find out a lot of people are scared of Deborah. I'm like, "Why are people afraid of Deborah? This is odd." And so I drive to where Deborah's office is, and I go in, and Deborah goes, "Hi, how are you?" And I go, I'm doing good. And she looks at me in the eyes and she goes, are you good? I said, yep, I'm doing good. And she looks at me and she goes, yeah, go home right now and repent for striving. And also you need to drink some water because your face is having a manifestation of what's going on in your heart. And I was like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So I leave and I go home. I drink water and I repent. I'm like, God, forgive me for striving in my new role. And then I go back and train her. And Deborah took me under her wing and has shown me more things than I really deserve. Like, she not only trained me in administration, she trained me in the spirit. Literally taking me by the hand and showing me, this is how you lay hands. This is how you see healings. She would turn my face and say, watch that manifestation. You need to see what this looks like. And so, yeah, just a funny story. We need those people that have been around for longer than we've been alive that can speak wisdom into our lives, don't we? Yeah. I know you guys have a few of those people here in this place. Another funny one, I'm pulling into work and I walk into the admin building. And remember, I'm new. Like, literally, nobody knows who I am. I found out like a year later that when they hired me, the senior pastor's name's Dan Fraley was like, is it safe to have this guy in the office? Because that's truly how new I was to the environment. And I pull in and this guy named Steve Backlund, some of you may know him, some of you may not. Steve Backlund doesn't know who I am and he stops me. And he goes, you know what I hear the Lord say about you? And I'm like, oh man, I don't. I don't know what I hear the Lord saying about me. He goes, yeah, you're being a penguin. And you need to go home and research what happens to penguins when they're by themselves. And what Steve didn't know was I was getting so bogged down in work for my first conference that I had actually left the Bethel admin building to go work in isolation to be by myself because I thought that's how I would get my stuff done. And penguins, if you guys don't know, when they're by themselves, they die. It's not good for them, right? And so I pull into work the next day, and I look at the car I'm parked next to, and there's this massive penguin sticker just right on the side of it. It's called Penguin Air Conditioning Services. So yeah, that's what it's like living in a supernatural environment, city. You're going to get called out, and it's a good thing. It only elevates you and brings you closer to God. And so I'm so grateful for my time there in Reading Church. Now, in November of last year, so just a few months ago, I had the most unique and amazing phone call that I've ever had in my entire life. I met this woman in 2022 at a leaders conference. The next year, I see her again, and she tells me that you're supposed to have a conversation with my husband. And do you guys know when you can tell somebody has money? Like, you can just tell, right? Like, man, they got some money. So I'm like, awesome. So I'll talk to this guy. We have a Zoom call. And the short end of the story is he told me, you can't receive what God has for you because you have a clogged filter. And because your filter is clogged, you can't receive all the abundance that he has. And I'm like, oh, this is odd because I had tithed my entire life, you know? And I didn't understand really what he was saying. But then something happened the next day that led me to create something called the Blessing Book. And so I want to talk to you guys this morning about generosity and favor and really what this looks like. So here's what happened. This guy tells me I have a clogged filter. He unclogs my filter and speaks a word over me. The very next day, I go outside and I check my mail, and there's a random check in my mailbox for $229. And I call this guy. I said, hey, you released this word over me the next day. I haven't had this happen before, but there's a check in my mail for $229. And he goes, yeah, there's something significant. Look up 229. Find out what that means. And so Proverbs 22:9 says this, when you're generous to the poor, your life is enriched with blessings in return. Now, my background, just so you guys know, I have my degree in dietetics. I was supposed to be a registered dietitian. So I interned with hospitals for a couple of years. And then after that, just my wife and I, we got into the gym industry. We opened up a gym. So I never went into the hospital route. But to me, I'm sharing that with you because the word enrichment means something different to me. See, back in World War II, during my time in dietetics, I learned that the government actually enriched our food. And so what they did is they knew that there wasn't going to be an abundance of fruit and vegetables and all these things. So they started putting vitamins and minerals like in white bread and just normal daily things. And so you could actually not be vitamin deficient just based on eating bread alone. Isn't that amazing? And so when it says your life is going to be enriched, it's every part of your life. It's like the little things. It's the big things. It's going to the gas station and getting blessed. It's going to Trader Joe's and getting blessed. It's every little area of your life is enriched when you're generous to others. And so I want to get into what this practically looks like. But first, I've got to talk on the tithe. And I'll just be real quick with this because I know you guys know this. But the tithe is the starting point, right? It is the starting point for breakthrough in our finances. And so what is the tithe? Well, the tithe means a tenth. It's the first 10% of our income. Leviticus 27:30 says that a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Great. We know that it's holy. We can see that it's from the land, from the grain or the soil or from the fruit. That just means everything, right? All of our income, whatever, however we get it, the first tenth belongs to the Lord. It's holy to him. Now, where should your tithe go? Well, the tithe should go to your local church. So I no longer go to my father's church in Oklahoma, so I don't tithe to Lifeway anymore. I tithe to Bethel Redding because that's where we live. That is my local church. And so if you go to Osborne Church, then your tithe belongs to this church. Now, as I was looking through my notes on my phone, I found this text from January 28th, 2020. Have you ever known, like, I think we've all been there in our life where everything just, it kind of seems hard. Like, you get ahead for a little bit, but then the washing machine goes out. And then the washing machine gets fixed, and then their fridge goes out. It's just like, I'm just trying to get ahead. And there was this young man I was kind of mentoring back in Oklahoma, and he was in this cycle, you could say. And I asked him, man, are you tithing? He said, I can't afford to tithe. And I said, you can't afford not to tithe. And so here's this text message he sent me on January 28th, 2020. Dude, we tithed one time, and I got two job opportunities and a chance to refinance our home for $200 less per month. So amazing. So amazing. Now, Malachi 3:8 testifies to this. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And tithes and offering. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Here comes the good news. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Try it. Put me to the test. So good. And so I know that when we tithe the first tenth, the rest is blessed, right? And 90% of our income with God's blessing on it will go a lot further than 100% without it. And I had tithed since I had been saved. But for whatever reason, I never was in a place that I really felt like I was blessed financially. Things were always kind of hard. I was always a bit stressed about my finances. And then I get this word from this guy that I had a clogged filter and that he's going to unclog it. And then I get that check in the mail, right? And so what do? Well, I start blessing other people. And I thought that I didn't have enough money to bless others. Let's just laugh at that lie, right? And so here's what I have here. It's called the blessing book, and I just split this little journal thing right down the middle. One side says blessing others. The other side says receive blessing. And it starts really small and actually starts off with my youngest son, my first entry. November 10th, Parker and Deborah, the woman who had me repent, did a gift box, and Parks gave some of his stuff away. He was even going to give away one of his medals from his cross-country meets. Amazing, right? November 13th, this guy asked me for $100 so he could pay his landlord. Well, that morning, my wife got her mileage check, and it was $125, which was a lot more than we expected. So this guy asked me for $100. Well, we just received $125, so we give the guy all of it. Then about 6 days later, we received $50. The 21st, 3 days later after that, we got $125 more. November 26th, somebody gave us $50. Wow. I can't outgive God. You can't see my book from here. But what the right-hand side is what I've received, and the left is what I've given. And every time I give, what I received is wild. It's so much bigger. It's so much bigger. And guys, I want you guys to start to apply this in your lives, and I want you to learn we must celebrate the little things. So what does this look like? My wife sends me to Trader Joe's last week, and she needs one avocado. All the avocados are bad. Man, my wife's Mexican. You don't show up with a bad avocado. Like that thing, I don't do the best job, but I've gotten a lot better being married to her for 15 years. And so all the avocados are bad. So I go, and there's like a bag of them, right? And these ones are a little bit better. So I'm like, she only needs one, I'll just buy a bag. And so I go to pay for my bag of avocados. And the guy goes, hey, just take them for free because they're supposed to be four and you only got three. Amazing, I only needed one anyways, right? And I'm like, thank you, God, that little avocado testimony is in the blessing book, right? Another thing that's in the blessing book is I mentor some of the top athletes in the North State, and they don't have dads in their lives, and so I've kind of stepped in as a father figure for most of them. And we always show up to these tournaments with mismatching gear because we don't have enough money. Man, we can barely get into tournaments. It's literally like pulling teeth to get money to get us in, let alone buy uniforms. It's football, if you guys were wondering. 7-on-7. It's pretty big here in SoCal. And so I send out some emails. I'm trying to raise money for these boys. And then I get a text message. Oh, here's a funny thing. I'm in a staff meeting at Bethel Leaders Network, and Taff Harvey's the director. She goes, does anybody have anything important they need to share? And I go, yeah, I have something important I need to share. And I had nothing important to share. I don't know why I said this. And she's like, all right, Garrett, go ahead. And I said, hey, today's going to be a good day. And she's like, thanks, Garrett. That's so good. And so the meeting goes on. And we're in that meeting. And I pull up my phone, and I had a text message. I can't say their name. It's private. I had a text message from somebody, and they said, we got your email. We want to give you $1,000 so that you can buy every single uniform for all the kids that you have. I went home, man, I was crying. My wife can tell you I was just crying. I was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. The largest gift my wife and I have given away is $100, and yet here we are receiving $1,000. Because God's economy doesn't work like ours. You put a little seed in the ground and a tree comes up, and that tree produces fruit. And every fruit that you eat multiplies and it spreads to every other person. When we drove here, we stayed the night in Santa Clarita. I pulled in, and man, when you pull in the ready and it says city population 89,000. I pulled in here and said, Los Angeles, city population. It was like 4 million or something. I was like, what in the world? You guys, your ability and what is possible here where you live is so massive. You just got to start planting a little seeds here and a little seeds there and a little 20 to that person. And maybe you give 40 to that one. And then watch what God does in return. Woo! Is this a prosperity gospel? I don't know, but I know the heavens are filled with streets of gold. There's an endless amount. And I know that he owns a cattle on a thousand hill. And so why would he, our father, want us to be in a struggle financially? I believe that we're supposed to be the ones that show what his goodness really looks like. So man, yeah, let's just go through some of the blessing book. I feel like I'm supposed to release some of these over you guys. See what we got. Oh, this is a fun one. Hold on. Gas prices in Cali are expensive compared to Oklahoma. January 10th, I went to put gas at the gas station. When I went inside to pay for it, they said, there's already $30 on it. I'm like, so you're telling me you want me to put that $30 in my car? And she's like, yeah, pretty much that's what I'm telling you. Who goes to a gas station, especially in California, and say, hey, we have $30 of gas for you? Who here has a gas guzzler? Does anybody have to drive a truck? Yeah. Look, we just release gas breakthrough. Gas breakthrough. Their car is full. Here's a wild testimony. There's a guy named Chuck Perry in Bethel. He went all summer long on one tank of gas, like one full tank. It's in a book. I'll get it to you, Pastor Ryan. This guy's got wild testimonies. Let's get some fun ones. Anybody like coffee in here? Okay. I bought my friend Fajuk a coffee, $6. I went to Starbucks, and they gave me my coffee for free. The next day, you can't make this stuff up. Like, it happens. I'll give. The next day, something happens, right? I'll give a little. The next day, God gives a lot. We don't give to receive, but God's just trying to show me. He's trying to teach me a lifestyle of generosity. Yeah, but before I was a pastor, I was a personal trainer. People would always ask me, hey, when do we get to stop? When do we just work on maintenance? There is no maintenance. You can't stay the same. Like, you're either getting better or you're regressing and going backwards. And eventually, my methodology with my clients got them into a lifestyle of training where they no longer trained because they wanted to look a certain way. They trained because it was part of who they were. And I believe that the Lord is trying to teach me that generosity is not something that we do to receive, but it's actually who we are. Because he's a generous father, and so we're going to be generous children. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Now let's look into favor. And so what is favor? Favor in our language sounds like, I hope the judge rules in your favor, right? I hope you have favor on that test. I would say that, like, by the world's definition, favor is when things go right for you. But as I was studying favor and what it really looks like, I kind of came up with my own definition. And I believe that favor is a gift from God that increases and improves every aspect of our life, and it brings breakthrough for others. And so in the Bible, we see many people have relationships with Jesus, right? You've got the Pharisees, you've got his family, you've got the disciples, but there were a select group, three people, that had unusual favor with Jesus, and they got to witness healings that others didn't see. They got invited to the mountain transfiguration. And so what we're going to do this morning is dial in really on one person, one individual, and we're going to look at what is favor really? What were the results of the favor on this man whom Jesus favored? And then why did this person have favor? So who, what, and why? And so the person we're going to look at, he'd be my first candidate to get favor. He cut off somebody's ear. He was told, "Get behind me, Satan," by Jesus, right? We're looking at Peter. And Peter may not be the person when you look at this Bible that you think, man, that person's going to get shown it. But really, he is. Sure, Peter made mistakes. But God was never really looking for perfection in us, was he? He was looking for obedience and someone who would quickly respond when he calls and when he moves. And so we're going to look at Peter. We're going to start off looking at Mark chapter 1. If you're taking notes, if you're a note taker, I don't know if you are, you can write increased influence and write his home. So in Mark chapter 1, what happens is we see Jesus enter Capernaum. He immediately goes into the synagogue and he sees a guy with an unclean spirit. That's where we're going to pick up. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.'" Isn't it interesting that the first deliverance took place inside of a church? "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority it commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.' And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew." What took place in the synagogue is amazing. A man was delivered. Jesus is teaching with power. These people have been waiting for so long for Jesus to show up. But I want to look at the very last sentence. "Now, as soon as they had come out, they went to Simon's house." So Jesus shows up to this meeting with power, with authority. Deliverance starts to break out. And as soon as he leaves, he's like, "All right, let's go to Simon's house." Do you think Simon felt pretty cool in that moment? Absolutely. "Let's go to my house, Jesus. That's a good idea. We're all coming to my house." Now, when they went to his house, we know that Jesus heals Simon's mother. But look at this. It says, "At evening, when the sun had set," verse 32, "they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door." I find it a bit humorous that Simon, or Peter, right? His home, he's just a normal dude. He's just a normal fisherman. And then now after this moment, he says, "I'm going to his house." Every single demon-possessed person in the town is at his front door. All of them. I wonder what his wife was thinking. Like, you rolled up with this many people. It says that in Capernaum in this time period, there's about 1,500 people. It says all of them came. All of them were healed. Simon's home was transformed in an instant. This is no longer a common fisherman's dwelling place. His home was marked as a center point of a movement from that moment forward. When the favor of Jesus falls on you, you can expect an increase of influence to land in your homes. Amen. And we do understand that now our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that Jesus wants to show favor to your temple, the home you're hosting, his Holy Spirit. And I expect miracle signs and wonders to break out from you guys. Because Jesus sees you as one who is worthy to carry his glory, worthy to partner with heaven, so that his mission can be accomplished. Jesus said, "Pray this, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Someone who was speaking out in John chapter 17 started shouting it out during worship. Yeah, it was powerful. Do that more. Yeah, let's keep doing that. All right. Let's look at 2B. This I call it 2B. The second part is that Peter was blessed financially. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 5. If you want to turn there in your Bible, I'll be in Luke chapter 5. It says, so it was, verse 1, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that they stood by the lake of Gennesaret. I think I'm saying that right. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Oof. Get this, Mark chapter 1, the first time Jesus calls Simon, it says that Peter was cleaning his net. He was cleaning his net, and Jesus called him, and he came. Luke chapter 5, I got that backward. In Mark chapter 1, Peter was casting his net when Jesus calls him. In Luke chapter 5, what we just read, he was cleaning his net. I think there's some significance in that, and I just want to quickly touch on it. Peter had an ability to respond to the Lord no matter what he was doing. Have you ever been, God, it's not a good time right now. I'm a bit busy. I'm a bit stressed. I'm a bit crushed. Mark chapter 1, he's casting his net. Jesus calls and he comes. Luke chapter 5, he's cleaning his net because he's done. I think that what this represents is whether we're casting or cleaning, whether we're busy or bored, it's always the appropriate time to respond when Jesus calls. And I believe that this is why Peter has such significant favor with Jesus. Peter was always ready. Always ready, always willing. Lately, I've been going back to when I first got saved. And it had been a long time. My wife, I got saved when I was a little kid, but I didn't really have a power encounter, you could say. And so I got so turned off by the church. I wanted no part of religion. And so I didn't want to be in the church. I really wanted nothing to do with it. My wife and I got married at 18 years old, and then things were tough because neither one of us had a relationship with Jesus. And then I remember one day, she was different. She was so different. And I began studying her and what she was doing, and she read the Bible, and she was going to church. And so I started to ask her what's happening, and my wife told me about Jesus. And really, she modeled to me what it looks like to have Jesus in your heart. And it became so attractive to me that I thought, I really need that, and I would like to have that too. And so she truly led me to the Lord. And then when I really got filled, I started reading the Bible. And I just started in Genesis. And then I went to Exodus. And then I was reading about how God would show up to Moses. And I didn't have a grid for anything. I really thought that if I asked God to show up, he would. So I would sit in my room every single morning, day after day, week after week. And I believed that God was going to show me his face. Because I didn't know any different. Right? I read it and I believed it. And then I remember one day he showed up. I was in my kid's toy room, just sitting there. And when he filled the room, it was so bright that I couldn't even look. I had to hide. I got under a blanket and got behind the chair. And I feel this calling from the Lord to get back to that first point again. When you first accepted Jesus, when you really believed that anything was possible, when we didn't know any better, when we didn't know what church was supposed to look like, when we didn't know what worship was supposed to look like, when we didn't know when it was appropriate to raise our hand or when to get on a knee, when you just would respond. I just want to get back to that point in my life where I'll just respond to the Lord, where I just really believe that he's going to show up, where I really believe if I lay hands on somebody, they're going to be healed. Real quickly, I feel like we're supposed to take a moment, because for some of you, it was when you were a little kid. If you guys could just close your eyes. I want you to remember, what was that moment like? When his love filled you for the first time. Holy Spirit, right now in this moment, would you please fill us with your love? Fill us with your love again. Fill us with your love. I asked my wife, what was it like when you got saved? And she said, it's like I walked outside and I saw the sunrise for the first time. You're going to see things differently when you're filled with his love again. For we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. And so right now, Jesus, would you seal us again? May this be a moment we remember we were sealed by your sweet, sweet presence. You can only give away the love that you have, and if you have not received the love of Jesus, then you don't have perfect love, and so what you're giving away is just a little bit. It's not its full capacity. And so if you're here right now, and you don't know if you've ever received the love of Jesus to fully come in your heart, we're just going to do an altar call right in the middle of this thing. If that's you today and you don't know, I've never asked Jesus to actually be here. I don't know. I've heard about him. I don't know if I've had all his love in me before. Would you just raise your hand real quick? Anyone here today? Anyone here today? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So good. Hey, you guys can open your eyes now. I also feel led to go after this. You know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, right? And so what that means is what Jesus did before, Jesus is going to do it again. In October, I'm in Oklahoma at a men's conference. I flew out a worship team from Bethel. And I see this old man. I haven't seen him for a year and a half. I said, Jack, how are you doing, man? He said, oh, I'm doing good, but I had to get off the prayer team. I said, why did you have to get off the prayer team? He said, because my hearing got so bad, I couldn't hear people when they would pray for me. You see, when background noise was going on and people would talk, he really lost it all. And so he actually left the prayer team simply because he couldn't hear people pray, and he was frustrated with them repeating himself. So I said, Jack, come here. We circled around Jack. We prayed for him. I said, take out your hearing aids, and so he did. And so I said, Jack, can you hear my voice? He said, yes. I said, Jack, can you hear my voice? He said, yes. I backed up. I continued to do this. Tears start falling down Jack's face. He's had his hearing aids out ever since. Completely healed. Last month, I'm in New York ministering. This father brings his daughter up to me. She's probably like 10 years old. And he says, hey, would you please pray for her hearing? She's going in tomorrow for a procedure. She's deaf in one ear. I'm like, I've seen this before. I don't know what's going to happen. And so I pray for her hearing, and she says it doesn't improve. And so I pray again, and she said it doesn't improve. And so I said, all right, let's test it right now. And so I just kind of snapped my finger by her ear. And I said, can you hear this? And she said, yeah. And I got to a point, and she couldn't hear me anymore, right? And I said, okay, good. So now let's go after it. And so I prayed for her ear. I snapped so much, I run into the next prayer team. And they're like, what are you doing? I was like, sorry, we're getting healed over here. And so I really have faith in the room. If you have hearing problems and you want to be healed right now, just put your hand up. Anyone here? Awesome. Awesome. Guys, if you would like to, please lay hands on those near you. If you guys can, is that okay? If you guys can, just get up or extend a hand towards those people. I know we don't have the ability to test this out right now. Talis, there's some people in the back row. Would you please go lay hands on them as well? So Jesus, I thank you that you paid the price on the cross. By your stripes, we were healed. It's not just a saying. It's not just a cute verse we say, oh, I hope this happens. No, hope is the joyful anticipation of good. And so I have a joyful anticipation right now, Jesus, that what you did in Oklahoma and what you did in New York, you're about to do right here in California again. And so we say, ears open in the name of Jesus. We say, ears open in the name of Jesus. Open ears. Open ears. You're going to hear. You're going to hear. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing. I'm hearing like crunching in my ear right now. I think things are breaking up in the ear. It's a supernatural movement. Thank you, Jesus. Just a little bit longer. I really feel the need. If you guys could just say, just continue to pray. If you don't know what to pray, just pray in your prayer language. Just pray over there. Just lift it up. I really feel. Holy Spirit, heal them right now. Heal their ears. Open their ears, Jesus. Open their ears, Jesus. You paid for it. We receive it. On St. Patrick's Day, we receive it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Shira Dasana. If you're near somebody and you can, actually touch their ear. Touch their ear. Touch if someone needs prayer, actually touch their ear. God, we just lift these ears up to you right now. I ask for a transplant to take place. We're going to take these earthly ears. We're going to put them into heaven. We're going to lay them, we're going to let them lay on your doctor's table, the great physician. And your angels are going to minister. And the harmony of heaven is going to begin to fill this ear. And right now we take back the ear and we put it back on this person. And we thank you for the healing that they received. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I know it's hard to test because we can't snap, we can't talk, but if you feel any improvement, you feel a little better, just put your hand up. We just want to give God the glory. Amen in the back right there. Woo, thank you, God. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate what he did. The more we celebrate what he did, the more that's going to be done. It's the avocados. God, thank you for the avocados. We celebrate the little things, and I believe that as your day goes on, don't be surprised if these ears begin to open up more and more and more. We went from fish to healing ears. Okay, I want to get back to it because there's something significant on that with a fish. Okay, verse 7 says that both boats were so full that they began to sink. Man, I was in a hotel like in the Bay Area about a year and a half ago, and I started to get obsessed with this. Like, what? How big were the boats? How many fish did they catch? What's going on? Here's what I found. They have models of what the boats look like. Based on the boat's structure and what they were able to carry in the nets, it would have taken over 62,000 pounds of fish to sink two boats. Awesome. So what did fish sell for back in that time period? When we did the math on it, it came out to 24 years worth of salary. Last year in America, the average salary was 60K. Multiply that by 24 years, that's 1.4 milli in a single catch. How come nobody talks about that part, right? I'm like, what? Peter just got hooked up. Peter went from like probably getting by till he's got a million in his time period. Do you think they threw all the fish back in the water? So that was cool. Somebody got paid. Somebody got some money. I believe that that moment, although it's not spoken of, I believe that moment actually financed the ministry that Peter did. While he traveled, his wife was taken care of. His mother-in-law was cared for. See, when the favor of Jesus comes on you, he never wants you to get by. This is rough. I hope next month we're going to make it. I hope next month we're going to make it. No, he's going to supply you for right now and for the future. He's going to take care of you and your family. See, the breakthrough that happens is also for those who you're in life with. Whew. Can we see that when the favor of Jesus fell on Peter, his influence in his home increased? It was marked as a center point of a movement. When the favor of Jesus fell on Peter, his boat went from catching a few fish to catching 62,000 pounds worth of them. God wants to improve your influence in your home. God wants to increase your marketplace finances. The favor of Jesus is looking, roaming. Who can I fall on? Who can I fall on? Because God's value system is relationship, his methodology is partnership. And what that means is some of you in this place are going to be the one who sows seed. Because God's value system is relationship, his methodology is partnership. Some will sow seed, some will receive. One man will plow the ground, another will scatter. In Proverbs, there's a verse that says, there's one who sows much yet increases more. It's the lifestyle of generosity. It's a lifestyle of open doors. Now, the last part of this message is the most important part, because the definition of favor by what I've found is that favor is a gift from God that increases and improves every aspect of our life, the final piece, and brings breakthrough for others. The last thing I witnessed from Peter's life being marked with favor from Jesus is that he walked in power. If you're a note taker, write that down. Walk in power. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5 and 9 for this third point. I'll start off with Acts 5 verse 12. Just look at what happened. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Whew. I'm worried about you guys. I'm worried about Osborne Church. I'm worried what's going to happen when the favor of God and the manifestation of the Spirit falls so heavy on this place. That when the sun sets and the shadow comes off the building and hits the street, people are going to start going into an encounter with the Lord. And I'm worried you guys might have to get somebody out there to direct traffic to say, you need to pull into this parking lot right here, because it's not anything out there, but it's just the presence in here. And we're just catching the glimpse of his glory that is falling on you as you pass by. I do believe that there's going to be an outbreak of the Spirit at Osborne Church. You guys are marked for revival. You guys are rooted in the history of some mighty men and women of God. And it's going to happen again because it is the spirit of prophecy. It's a testimony of Jesus. You know what people are hungry for? Something real. Something real. There's so much fake. I can't even trust the news. I can't trust social media. I can't trust what half the people tell me anymore. I need to see something real. And when you say that person was deaf, but now they hear, and I can't change that, you can't argue that. You see, a person with an idea has nothing against a person with an experience. And I've tasted and seen too many things for you to convince me that all of the good things that God has planned for us are not real, and that they're not going to happen right here, right now, in this place. Pastor Ryan is highly anointed. As he said, I can't get to everybody. I can't. But for whatever reason, he was highlighted. We're going to walk together. And he's a mighty man of God. And he's in this place for a specific reason right now in this time. You guys are all here for a reason. It is the body coming together. Jesus, he's coming for his bride. He's coming for his bride. Spotless, without wrinkle or any other blemish. It's the holiness. I think some of you can feel the holiness just settled. It's the holiness. Holiness of Jesus. I'm going a little over. I better get 12:10. Okay. I want to read you this quote real quick from Bill. Bill Johnson says that God often answers the prayers of his people by raising up a person he favors. His favor is upon you, so you can be part of his plan of distributing that same favor to others. Wow. The last thing we're just going to close with this is why did Peter have favor? And we already talked about this briefly, that he was a quick responder. He was always available, whether he's cleaning his net or casting it, he's going to respond. But to me, obvious, and I think you guys will agree, probably the most obvious moment is during the storm, when everyone else is afraid, but Peter steps out. Let's look at that real quick. We're going to close here. It says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. People say, but he sank. Yeah, but he walked. He stepped out. There's an invitation to step out again. There really is. Just like I've had this burning in my heart that I've got to get back to what I did at first, where I'll just sit in a room and expect God to actually show up because he said he would. There's an expectation for you guys. I feel like this anticipation of heaven's waiting for us to step into this. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. As freely as you have received, freely you must give. And so what do you want to receive? That's the question. Because the slot machine was throwing lemons and strawberries and whatever you guys want. It's jackpot day on St. Patty's Day here today. I really feel that. I really feel that. Do you guys have a prayer team? Okay, could the prayer team come to the front? He supplies increasingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So what do you need? I needed jerseys for my kids because I was tired of showing up to tournaments. Mismatching, never looking right. God supplied. Some of you need healing. Some of you do need a financial breakthrough. Is there anyone here today that says, I need a financial breakthrough? I really do. This couple in the back, you two. This couple right here in the back, could I get your name? David and Misty. I know many of us need financial breakthrough. But would you just point your hands towards David and Misty right now? And as we honor them, we will receive in return. There's an abundance. There's a wheelbarrow. There's a wheelbarrow running through heaven right now. It's filled with money. And the angelic are laughing as they're getting ready to tip this over on you. They're going to tip it on you. Yeah, St. Patty's Day. It's the end of the rainbow time. There's going to be a pot of gold. We just want to pull down some of that gold from heaven and drop it in your lap right now. If you've got cash in your pocket, would you please stand up and make your way towards them and just throw it at their feet? I know this is abnormal, probably not something we normally do, but right now we just want to honor what God is doing in your life. We're going to honor what Jesus has done. And we're going to say, this is your portion. It is of abundance. Yeah, just put it at their feet. I know they're in an encounter. Just put it at their feet if you guys could, please. Just place it at their feet. Set it in the chair next to them. We say, this is the first fruit of what's to come. This is going to become common. Abundance, blessing. This is your life. You have given so much to so many. It is now your turn to receive. Because you have a generous Father who loves you so much, He's going to pour out His love in measures that you've never experienced. We just say, God, increase, bless, bless, and increase, and bless, and increase, and bless. To the end of His government, there will be no end. And to the end of His breakthrough over your life, there will be no end. You have now started the trajectory, a continual progression upward until you get to heaven, where you will experience a manifestation of His presence every single step that you take. This is now a marking moment for your life, where you will look back and say, do you remember on March 17th, 2024, when our lives changed forever? Where our lives changed forever. He's the King of Glory and He's in the room. Can you give me some keys? Who's my key player? Thank you, Father. Every eye closed right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the healing. I thank you for the provision. I thank you for the abundance. I thank you for the joy. I thank you for the miracles. I thank you for the prophetic anointing coming on this house, that people are going to be known that you need to know something. You got to go to Osborne Church. They told me all about my life and they never met me. Argue that. You can't. The King of Glory is coming back for a spotless bride. And there's a marking moment on this house right now. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What does that mean? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's not for the future. It's for right now. It's already been done. It's already happened. And so right now, as this amazing young man plays the keys, if you need something, if you need healing, if you need a word from God, if I feel like there's some people in the room that you're at a crossroads, you've got a decision to make and it's tough. If you need guidance on a decision, you need, like as my wife mentioned, the compass, the direction, just come up to the front right now. Just come up to the front. While people come up to the front, we're just going to give out words too. Thank you, Father. And there's a couple at the very end, if you guys need prayer, there's a couple open down here, and there's one open up here. Sota pa pa sota shita sanata. You three right here, the family, are you guys brother? Are you guys brothers and sisters? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. You guys are being linked together at an even stronger level. Like, you guys are going to be known as people that bring hope into hopeless situations. Hope is the joyful anticipation of good. When other people are down, you're going to say, come up here. It's actually a supernatural thing. Have you ever met anybody that no matter what's going on, they seem happy? Happy is your portion. Joy is your measure. And so, Father, I thank you for those three right there and the anointing on them. And the young man behind him. Yes, yes, you. Yeah. I feel like God wants to mark you in power. Was your family in church? Did you grow up in church? Yeah, there's a rich history of church in you. Like there's a rich history. Yeah. There's something on the history that's been piling up. It's been piling up like you're stepping into a generational thing that I don't even know if you're fully aware of the weight of it. It's significant. You're going to step into things that your father and your grandfather and his grandfather paved the way for you for. It's significant in its power. You are going to have a power anointing that when you pray for people, it happens. That when you lay hands, healing breaks out. That when you prophesy, it's so accurate, it actually scares people. Thank you, Father, for the power anointing. What's your name? Nick? Yeah, if you guys just put your hands towards Nick. God, we bless Nick. Just bless him, yeah. God, I pray that right now Nick would begin to feel your presence. That Nick would feel your presence. That he would feel your power. He would feel your power. Another marking moment for Nick. The prayers are adding up. They're piling up, spilling out from heaven onto his lap right now. I pray that his hands get filled with fire. So we say fire of God on Nick right now. Fire of God on Nick right now.